Well, we've got two very interesting stories in the New Testament, or not so much one's a story, the other's just a teaching. And we end up with forgiveness and weakness going together as the lectionary pulls them together. And I've been trying to think how they fit. And I think they do. At least they certainly have some similarities in their outcomes and that sort of thing. Our culture often equates forgiveness with weakness, which is strange. Because sometimes forgiving is the hardest thing you ever have to do. And so anybody who thinks forgiveness is easy, I suspect, hasn't really done it very often, or at least not for things that really matter. And when we look at our gospel lesson, we have Peter coming to Jesus and asking this rhetorical question, saying, how many times do I forgive somebody if they sin against me? Up to 7 times, which is a lot, and is more than was traditionally felt you needed to do. And Jesus says, well, no, not 7 times. And I can see Peter going, oh, good. And then Jesus says either 77 times or 70 times 7 times. It doesn't matter. The amount is infinite, which is one of those things that I suspect Peter was a bit, well, jaw-dropped, because The culture of the time said you forgave people who did a thing against you a few times, and then that was it. They'd run out of forgiveness. But Jesus says, no, it doesn't work that way. And then tells a parable that's got all kinds of problems for us in some ways, but sort of the thrust of it is that it is possible to forgive people enormous amounts. 10,000 talents is much like infinite, and 100 denarii is a lot like not very much at all. And so the story is that if you've been forgiven a lot, you should forgive, and if you don't, it's going to cause you problems. And I've often heard this parable preached as a cautionary tale, saying if you don't forgive people, you're going to go to hell. So you might want to consider forgiving people, which is not what's going on there. That's not the point. The point is that we should forgive people, and we should do it because we need to be forgiven also. Which leads us, at least for me anyway, leads us into Paul in Romans, where Paul says, we need to pay attention to people who are different than us. And then because Paul is talking to human beings who've got lots of ways of thinking about things, he puts it into categories of weak and strong, which is in some ways is unhelpful, but in another way is incredibly helpful, because Paul doesn't put this into the categories of good and bad or of evil and virtuous. He says it's weak and strong. There are some people who have a difficulty that you don't have. And the first one he gives is people who don't eat meat. And the reason why they don't eat meat, in case this is a new thing to you, it's not that they are ethical vegetarians or vegans or something. That didn't exist back then. What they are is they're saying, I don't know where the meat in the market came from. Because it wasn't just the Jewish people who sacrificed animals as part of worship. Everybody did. And so unless the sacrifice was specifically required to be burned to ash, if you sacrifice an ox, there's an awful lot of it left over. And so some of it went to the priest, some of it may have gone to the person who was brought the sacrifice, but the rest of it, maybe some of it was distributed to the poor, but some of it ended up in the market. And so for some people, they were so concerned about the possibility of eating meat that had been offered to some pagan idol that they wouldn't eat meat at all. And in this case, Paul says that's someone who is in a weaker position in regard to what they believe, and a stronger person eats meat because they know that idols are nothing, that an idol doesn't matter, an idol doesn't count, who cares where the meat comes from, I'm feeling like having a piece of ox today, so I'm going to have a piece of ox. What Paul says is not so much that one of you is right and the other's wrong. He's saying that wherever you are in this continuum of weak and strong, you need to pay attention to the other people. And if you are the strong one, you need to make sure that your strength doesn't interfere with their weakness. To which that means, if you can eat whatever you want, don't shove the fact that you can eat meat in the face of someone who can't. And in some ways you think, well, that's just common civility. Do we really have to talk about that? Well, yes, we do. Because if we're not careful, people who are in, to use Paul's language, in a strong position, sometimes find it very easy to be judgmental about people who can't. And they'll say things like, well, if only your faith was stronger, if only this, if only that. Well, the fact is, it isn't at the moment. So it's an act of kindness, it's an act of community to limit your own freedom. This isn't only about things like meat offered to idols and that kind of thing, or one day being better than another. We all have things like this. And I was trying to think of a better example than the one I used at Knox, and I couldn't, so I'm just going to use it again. Imagine that we're in a play, and part of the play, one of the things the actor has to do as part of this play is they have to smoke a cigarette. Well, for most of you, maybe even all of you, I don't know, but for at least for some of you, that's just not an issue. For me, that's an issue. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I have some huge ethical... No, it's because if I smoke a cigarette, I'll keep smoking them till I die, and I'll die sooner than I would otherwise, because I'm an addict to nicotine. The fact that I haven't smoked since 1986 is irrelevant. It's still there. It's never going to go away. I am weak in regard to the consumption of nicotine. Does that mean I am bad? No. If you are able to smoke a cigarette, as many people can, you smoke it. Well, whatever, that's fine, never think of it again. Does that mean you're bad? No, it also doesn't mean that either one of us is particularly virtuous. It's just different abilities, different ways to manage the world in which we live. And if we judge each other, if I say to somebody who smokes a cigarette on stage, you are a terrible person because you're doing that and I can't, then I'm not being kind, accurate, or anything. And I'm not helping the community. I'm destroying community. Because that's what Paul's getting at here. Not that we are judging people that we don't know. Not that we are standing in judgment over people we see on television. Paul's talking about people who know each other. And he's saying that if somebody can do something you can't, that doesn't mean they're wrong. Might be that, I suppose. But most of what people do isn't a right or wrong thing. It's a taste thing. It's what you enjoy. I like hymns and don't particularly care for most worship songs. I don't hate them. They're just not something I'm going to seek out. But if I go to a church where that's what they do, I'm going to do my best to sing along, follow the music, whatever I can do, because that's what's happening there. I'm not going to pull out a hymn book and start singing A Mighty Fortress Is My God at the top of my voice to teach them a lesson. That is something wrong. My taste in music, in worship, is just that. It's taste. And if I'm going to go somewhere else, if I want to be part of that community, if I want to help that community be the best it can be, I'm going to limit my taste and do what they do, because they're not asking me to do something bad. They're just asking me to sing a song I might not have chosen. And what Paul is after here is the same thing Jesus is after in the forgiveness part. That if we don't let people be who they are, and if they do actually sin against us, if we don't forgive them, we will eventually have a community of one. We will isolate ourselves, so there's nobody around us. If we're waiting for everybody to be just like us, it won't happen. Even cult leaders who try to make everybody just like them aren't successful. Why do we think we would be? It doesn't work that way. When you think of weakness and strength, if we can step away from the, in this passage, if we can step away from the value-laden statement of weak or strong, and look at it instead as the differences in taste, the differences in desires, the differences in experience. Are we willing to let other people do things that we can't or that we don't want to, so that we can maintain that relationship with them? Because you will never have a relationship with somebody if you spend all your time telling them how they're wrong. Or them telling you you're wrong. Now, I think most of us don't mind correction. We understand that sometimes we are wrong. But if you've ever been around somebody who thinks everything you do, or at least that's the way it feels, is wrong, how much time do you spend with them? How much are they a member of your community? Are they the person you're going to go to if you have a problem? Maybe. Probably not. We're called, among so many other things in this life of faith, to be in community. And we cannot be in community if we insist that everybody be like us. We have to have some give and take. We have to allow other people to be themselves. And sometimes, if it's a weaker, stronger issue in our own minds, sometimes we have to let people get stronger. Nobody was born as strong as they are now. If we let other people grow up in all sorts of other ways, maybe we need to extend that same courtesy to them about whether they shop on Sundays or not, whether they responsibly consume alcohol, whether they go to the theater. Apparently that's still a problem for some people. Whatever it might be, if we can't let people be who they are, how can we be in community with them? And if we're not in community with them, then how are we being the body of Christ? We're called to be people who, when strangers come in, they can tell we love each other. It's hard to love somebody who is constantly judging you, isn't it? And it's hard to love people that you are constantly judging. So we step away from that judgment and say, if this is how you want to do things, I'm okay with it. If I go to a church that's singing worship songs, I'm going to sing worship songs because I'm okay with that, because it doesn't matter. It's a taste thing, the same way that the things Paul talks about and everything else, when it moves into this whole idea of someone sinning against you, well, then we go to Matthew. And in the same way that we've been forgiven 10,000 talents and impossible to even imagine a sum of money, we're called to forgive those who owe us $100. Because that's how we make community work. Because we look at the reality of people in their context, in their reality, and we meet them there rather than saying, come, look more like me, and then we can be friends. The community of faith is a wonderful thing. The thing that makes it tricky is that it's just filled with people like me. And so I need to be reminded of these things. This is another sermon of reminder that whether I'm weak or strong, I need to be ready to let people be who they are so that we can be in community and move forward together. Amen.